nowhere. Got to my very last closing verse, and I could not find that book of the Bible to save my life. It was terrible. All right, the book of Esther, and we're going to start out in chapter 2. Now, the first thing that we need to consider in the book of Esther, our primary focus is adapting to the circle of change, because I know that each and every one of you have been through changes of some sort in your life, and I know personally I've been through many changes in my life, and that's why I was selected to do this session, because the Lord has seen fit to allow me to go through many changes. And in the little summary, it talks about how my husband has pastored, my husband has served as an evangelist, and now we are missionaries. And ultimately, I would just say the bottom line is, like Miss Donna Janney was saying last night about her husband, my husband is a visionary. And thankfully, the Lord has put that desire in both of our hearts, that there's always, we have a great burden for souls and for evangelism, and more than just evangelism here, but global evangelism. And that's our heartbeat, and that's our heart's desire. And with that path has come many changes. It would have, in my mind, it would have been wonderful if when we first got married, the Lord would have just plugged us in and said, okay, this is what I want you to do for the rest of your life. But it's been a continual process of change and refining and preparation that the Lord has had in our lives. So I want us to look at the life of Esther, because I feel like in a very real way, I was studying her life as I was just going through this change. We said our goodbyes to our wonderful church in Dover, Delaware, just in January. And so as I was going through all of this change, I was really meditating on the life of Esther and praying about what I would be sharing with you ladies as well. So the first thing, in just a nutshell, the book of Esther, by the sovereignty of God, I'm sure many of you are familiar with the book of Esther, Vashti was dethroned, and all the beautiful versions of the Persian Empire, which is now what we know as present-day Iran, all of these beautiful virgins were gathered together to the winter palace at Shushan so that the king could pick his next queen. And we're going to look into this a little bit more deeply. But before we look any further, I want us to have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you as women, but Lord Jesus, we come to you as needy women. Lord, I know that in my strength I can do nothing at all. But Lord, you have been so faithful. You have been the lifter up of mine head, and I just cannot praise you enough. And now, Lord, I'm asking that you would do something special for these ladies that are here today, because I know that they have come seeking something special from you, something that they can take back, that they can serve you more effectively, that they can serve their families, that they can serve your church. We're just praying that you would just do what we cannot do in and of ourselves, and that your word would be real and powerful. And we praise you and thank you for your goodness. In your precious and holy name I pray, amen. I just want to say it's a special, special privilege for me to have my daughter Elizabeth with me on this retreat. This is her first time to come with me to a three-day conference like this, so I'm very excited. And next week she will be spending quality time with her daddy, and I will have my 10-year-old Rachel with me at the Sword Ladies Conference in Murfreesboro. So it's the first time we've done this for the three-day things, and it's been such a blessing. She has been my right-hand helper. I don't know what I would have done without her. I want us to read together in Esther chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. Esther 2, verses 5 through 7. Now in Shushan the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity which had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. And we're going to examine this more carefully. Now, in your little booklet that you have, there is a note page that goes with it. I don't like to do a lot of notes because I like you to just to fill in what really stands out in your mind. So I've just put a little sketch of an outline there. But I do have on that page a quote. Faith is not intelligent understanding. Faith is deliberate commitment to a person where I see no way. And that's really, I thought, an excellent summary of what faith is, and that's by Oswald Chambers. Now, I have here with me a hula hoop. How many of you know how to hula hoop? Raise your hand if you know how to hula hoop. Good many. I'm impressed. And you say, well, I haven't done it forever. I really don't think you can forget how to hula hoop. Once you've learned how to hula hoop, it's something that you always remember. As a matter of fact, I had not hula hooped for some time, but I want you to know my true claim to fame in life. When I was 5 years old, I was the hula hoop champion. There was my father's company that he worked for. They had this big company picnic every year, and they had a hula hoop contest, and there were tons of kids. I don't know how many it was, but it seemed like tons of kids, and I won my very own Mickey Mouse alarm clock, which was my pride and joy for years. Now, there's something you need to understand about a hula hoop. A hula hoop, you need to keep your body centrally balanced. You all want to see me do this, don't you? Okay, I've got this little microphone thing back here, so I don't know. Okay. See, it's very, very simple, okay? All right. Now, for a hula hoop, you have to keep your body centrally balanced in relation to the hula hoop. It's just a matter of balance. It's actually very simple, and I would say balance and flexibility are your two most important things in hula hooping. And if you're not balanced and if you're not flexible, then it's going to be a little bit difficult for you to get the hang of it. But we have this little hula hoop thing going on at home. We do homeschooling because that allows us more flexibility for traveling. And so us girls try to put in at least 10 minutes on the hula hoop every morning for our little break time. But we've got this little hula hoop thing going, and we can jump rope with it, and we can do it around our ankle like the old lemon head things, you know. So we have a good time. But I want you to think about that balance. What do you think was the balancing factor in Esther's life? And I feel like her abiding faith in a God who could not fail. That was the balancing factor in her life. Because her circumstances, I would say, were not what you would call balanced. They changed. They went from one extreme to the next. But she had a balancing factor in her life. Faith in a God that cannot fail. So the first thing on your outline is faith in the mire. And we just read these verses with Esther. And I feel like that could be considered the mire of her life. You see, Esther was displaced from her country, her people, possibly the result of even being taken captive. And Esther was an orphan being raised by her uncle. So she had some horrendous changes and circumstances in her life that many of us can relate to, and many of us know nothing about the degrees of the changes and circumstances that she had to deal with. And so I just want to remind you, ladies, that in the mire, when we're going through the trials of life, and really transitions are trials in themselves. If you've ever been through transition, you know that that can be a trial. I was just so thrilled. We had this move in January, and I try to be organized. I feel like I'm a fairly organized person to try to keep everything running smoothly for all of our travels. And I packed up all the moving boxes for this big move. I labeled everything intricately. My girls labeled everything intricately, exactly what was in the box, exactly which room it went in, if it was fragile, all of these things. Well, the day that we are moving to Glen Burnie, Maryland, we're in the moving truck on our way, and the preacher calls and said, the basement on the missions house flooded, and there's no power, and we get there right before dark, and all of these men movers, now if it was ladies, we would have done things differently, but these men movers, all good churchmen, just goodness of their heart helping us out, but whenever they saw it was dark and realized they couldn't put stuff in the basement, it was like they couldn't read after that point. I mean, fragile. They're just like throwing everything, and it's like, where does this go? And I'm like, And after a while, they don't even ask where it goes. I mean, it was like I didn't have any words on the box, and they just start piling everything in the living room. In my mind, I thought, oh, it's going to be this simple little move. All the boxes will be in the room that night. We'll sleep in our beds that night. And it wasn't that way. I didn't have suitcases packed. I didn't have an overnight bag. I didn't have anything. So it's dark, and we're going through the house with a flashlight trying to find a box. And every other day, my youngest daughter, Rachel, is missing underwear. It's like, Rachel, what do you mean you don't have underwear? Oh, but anyway, we got through this trial, and the Lord's taken great care of us. But let me tell you, that time of transition was a trial. It was not everything I expected. With all my wonderful plans and preparation, it didn't matter. It didn't matter. And, you know, we need to have faith during the trials, the transitions, during the mire of our life. If there's ever a time you need faith, it's then. Psalm 25:15, you can just write down the reference, says, mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Esther had to adapt to the circle of change. We have a wonderful hope, and I believe this was shared in the last session in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. It talks about the trial of our faith, but how we look to the Lord because he is our hope. And really, when my husband, you think I would get used to these things by now, but every time my husband talks about a change or transition, I go into the fear factor mode. It's like, oh no, what am I going to do? But quickly, the Lord's usually helps me to quickly get into the hope mode. Okay, well, maybe I can do that. Maybe we can do that, and my hope has to increase to where it becomes my hope is in the Lord. Well, maybe if the Lord is asking me to do this, then just maybe he has equipped me with what I need to get through this time of transition, to get through this time of change. And so whether it's just a simple transition or a complicated trial, there's four things that trials do for us. Four things. Trials purify us. Trials purge us. We need that often. Trials prove us. And trials prepare us. I want you to picture with me that song. If you've ever heard that song, Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to be a Daniel. Well, I have on my notes the word Daniel with a circle and a line through it. And I have dare to be an Esther. Because Esther, in my mind, as women, is such a wonderful, wonderful example of someone who put their hope in the Lord. There's three dares that I want to give you. Now, you have to understand, Esther went through major, major preparation for this position. She went through basically a 12-month spa treatment. How hard was that? 12-month spa treatment. And I've told you ladies long ago, so I'm not going to go into the story about how I decided I was going to wax my legs before I got married. It's too painful for me to talk about. But I will tell you I had a fancy formal occasion to go to a couple of months ago. And after almost 20 years of not messing with wax, I thought everybody's doing this. And we had gone to get a French manicure for this special, special occasion. Everybody's doing this. While I'm here, would you go ahead and wax my eyebrows? Now, some of you probably do this all the time, and you probably think I'm really a baby, but she lays me down. I don't understand half of what she's saying. She's just like, put your head down and puts this hot stuff on you and these rags on your eyebrows, and next thing you know, she jerks it off and says, lay there. And I'm like, okay. And so I'm just there, and I get up, and I thought, oh, that wasn't bad at all. And I look in the mirror, and it looks like somebody hit me in the forehead with a frying pan. My eyebrows are all red and swollen. And would you believe my eyebrows were swollen for 3 days? So I'm trying to pull my bangs down. So much for looking special for my formal occasion. I've got these bangs down in my eyes. It was terrible. So I don't know if Esther had to go through any waxing treatments, but it does talk about all the perfume, oil baths, and all of these wonderful things. But she went through some major treatments. But I know that she must have faced many, many challenges with all of these pagan women, and trying to maintain her faith and her hope in the Lord must have been an extreme challenge. I want to give you ladies an extreme challenge right now. I want to give you 3 dares. Have you ever had people when you were in school, I dare you, I double dog dare you? All right, I dare you in the trial, in the situation, in the circumstance that you find yourself in, I dare you not to compare. Don't compare yourself or your situation to anyone else in the world, because your situation is personally selected by God. God knows exactly what you're going through, and God has personal plans just for you that He doesn't have for the other person who maybe looked like they went through a similar circumstance. Dare not to compare. Don't compare apples and oranges. And one thing I think was special about Esther in that aspect, it says she pleased the keeper. So rather than compare, I want to say, instead of comparing, let's prepare. Now, I have to tell you something that made me turn red in the face when I saw it. My husband saw us girls hula hooping in the basement, and we just made it look so simple and so easy. You saw me do it. I just barely moved at all. Nothing about it. Well, my husband decides, how hard can it be? So my husband picks up a hula hoop, and his body began gyrating in all different directions. I turned red in the face. I said, honey, that's not a good idea. But, you know, this hula hoop thing, it looks simple, but it's all about balance and it's all about flexibility. My husband, comparing himself to us girls, thought it looked simple, but he was not prepared. He didn't have the balance, and he sure didn't have the flexibility. Next, dare to be content. Dare to be content. You know, whatever God has given you, be so, so thankful. If there's anything in the world that I can pass on to my children, anything in the world that I can convey to a church when we are there, is gratitude. Be content with what God has given you right now. Want what you have. because this is the place God's chosen for you for right now. And it says, she required nothing. That was Esther's faith factor right there, her hope. And then next, dare to be courageous. You know, she obtained favor of the keeper. And I believe she did that not by being a whiner, not by saying, woe is me, but she embraced the circumstance that God had allowed her to be in with all of her heart. And so dare to be courageous and say, my God will not fail. He has never failed and he will not fail. And I want to say that faith is hope embraced. Faith is hope embraced. And the Lord says in his word, the preparations of the heart are his delight. We must prepare during the trials. God is preparing us for what he has ahead. And your faith is no bigger than the object of your faith. Do you have a great God? Do you really, really believe that he is a great God? Because your faith will be no bigger than the object of your faith. We have to believe from our heart. And so the second point is faith on the mountain. And let's look at Esther chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. 2:16 and 17. So Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus unto his house royal in the 10th month, which is the month Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. I think when Esther was chosen to be queen, that had to be the mountaintop experience of her life, where she had been preparing all of this time for what God had for her. But yet I would say, to go from being a humble Jew to being the queen of the Persian Empire, what an adaptation that had to require. She really had to adapt to the circle of change. As if she hadn't been adapting through all of the circumstances before, she had to really, really adapt now. Again, the hula hoop appears to be very easy, but if you get distracted, you can lose it in just a second. How many times we've been down there hula hooping in the basement and somebody will come down and say something and I'll take my mind totally off the hula hoop for just a second to respond and I'll lose it. Now, if I'm thinking about it, I can do both at the same time. But if I just lose that concentration for just a moment, then I lose the hula hoop. And so we have to remember to keep our focus and stay faithful when the mountaintop experience comes, when it looks like, oh, yes, I'm finally getting to do what God has been preparing me to do. That is not your time to let the attention distract you or the spectators distract you, because God has you there for a purpose. When you have moved from the trial, the transition, to the position, God has something he wants to accomplish through you. You must be so careful not to get distracted. The Bible reminds us in James 1:17 that every good gift is from above. So when God places you in a position that you consider to be the mountaintop place, remember, every good gift is from God. It's God that put you there. And that dependence on God throughout the whole experience is going to be so vital in your life. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, another verse, the Bible says, eye hath not seen nor ear heard what the Lord hath prepared for them that love him. That's Samantha Jeffcoat paraphrase, because I didn't want to take the time for us to turn to it. So I hope I got it right. But eye hath not seen nor ear heard what God's prepared for us that love him. God wants to use you in the circumstances that you are in right now. God has something special for you, and we have to be willing and surrendered to go through those changes. So many times I think about going into the pastorate as a young woman, feeling so overwhelmed and so inadequate. I was terrified. I remember crying my eyes out and saying, they're all older than I am. How can I be the preacher's wife? And I was so scared. But then we had been there for 5 years, and then the Lord put us in the ministry of full-time evangelism. I cried again. I said, oh, all preachers' wives are old. How can I? And they know the Bible. They probably are going to ask me hard questions from the Bible. I was so, so scared and overwhelmed. But I just thank the Lord that He gave me the grace to be able to step through those doors and have that flexibility. I think what I would have missed out on had I not stepped through those doors and accepted the challenges that God had put before me. God's just been so faithful, and what I would have missed on seeing His hand, His great and mighty hand, provide. Matthew 19:26. With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And sometimes we think just because we're women, with women, it's possible. We think, you know, if we plan enough, if we prepare enough, if we get enough help, then we can handle it on our own, but we cannot. With women, it's just as impossible as with men. But with God, all things are possible. I want to tell you, are you abiding in faith? You need to be faithful. You need to be strong. When you're on the mountaintop, it's not the time to let down your guard. Every day we have to have faith to embrace the moment. We only have this moment. Sometimes we spend so much time getting in a tizzy about what's going to happen tomorrow. And, oh, I can't do that tomorrow. You know, tomorrow may never come. Embrace the moment that God has given you with all of your heart and with all of your soul. We don't have all the answers, but we have faith. And if we're not careful, we can let yesterday's haunt us. Esther could have let the past haunt her, because I'm sure there were great atrocities that were committed against her people, possibly against her very own family. Tomorrows can overwhelm us, and we only have today. Now, I want to ask you, the theme is A Touch from Heaven, and sometimes I wonder if we really want a touch from heaven. Do we really, really want God to touch our lives and use our lives His way, according to His will? And I want to ask you what you would wish for. If you could be granted 3 wishes, what would you wish for? That's an important thing to think about. If you could have 3 wishes, what would you wish for? Well, I want to tell you about the tale of 3 fishermen. Of course, these men were not spiritual like all of these women here today. There were 3 guys fishing when one hooked, unbelievably, to his amazement, the most beautiful creature he had ever seen, a wish fish. Have you ever seen a wish fish before? I haven't either. That's all right. A wish fish. Well, guess what this wish fish could do? He could grant wishes. They caught this fish, and this fish bargained 3 wishes for his freedom off of the fisherman's hook. So, the first guy, being very smart and savvy, said, "Fish, double my intelligence." Suddenly, without hesitation, the man began reciting Shakespearean sonnets. He was thrilled with himself and delighted. The second man can't wait. "Oh, what should I wish for?" The first guy said, "Double my intelligence." So this guy says, "Okay, triple my intelligence." Well, you know, just not even a second passed, and he began spouting Einstein equations. He was thrilled with himself and totally impressed his friends. Well, there's one man left, and the fish says, "Okay, what's your wish?" The third guy says, "Quintuple my intelligence." He was so proud of himself. And the wish fish said, "Are you sure? Are you sure this is what you want?" Without hesitation, the man said, "Of course." The fish said, "Okay." Poof! The man became a woman. We've just got it all, don't we, ladies? The next thing that unfolds in the life of Esther, mountaintop experience, you're there for life, right? No. Mordecai reveals to Esther Haman, the wicked one, his evil plans of genocide for the Jewish people. Haman was exceedingly powerful and consumed with hate. There's nothing more treacherous than someone consumed with hate. Hate will eat a person alive. I want us to look over to Esther chapter 4. And I would encourage you to just do a personal read through on this book of Esther. I've read the book of Esther many times over the past months, preparing this for you ladies and preparing for myself. In Esther chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "Also he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree, and they showed it to Esther." All right, next we see Esther responding in verse 11. And it says that all the king's servants do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come into the king, the inner court, who's not called, there is one law to put him to death. Except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. Now, this was just not the king's personal preference. This was what was known in stone as the law of the Medes and the Persians. This was the law of the land. It wasn't just the king. It was the law of the land. Well, Esther said that she had not been invited, but Mordecai encourages her in the Lord in verse 14, chapter 4, verse 14. "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" I love that line. That has been my line for the past 5 months. During this time of transition for our family, that has been my verse, "for such a time as this." Who knows? Could I hope that God has equipped me for this transition? Yes, I can hope that. The question is, can I believe it? Do I really have the faith to embrace that promise for such a time as this? Esther rises to the challenge courageously. Let's look at verse 14. Verse 15. "Then Esther bade them return to Mordecai this answer." And so it goes on talking about Esther and her answer. But I want you to look at, thirdly, faith through the mundane. She goes from this mountaintop experience to what could seem very mundane, menial task. And quite honestly, ladies, most of our life is not going to be on the mountaintop experience. Most of our life is going to be made up of the everyday, mundane experiences of being a woman, of being a mother, of being a grandmother. There are so many challenges that come our way just in the everyday mundane aspects of life. And so I want you to remember that faithfulness is working out your faith, or faithfulness is faith applied. When you have to live out that faith when it's not fun anymore and you're not getting to go through the 12-month spa treatment anymore, you know, we have to keep on living out the faith even when we don't have the pedicures and the manicures. All of those things might be the mountaintop experiences, not the norm of life. But you know what? Let's be faithful. Let's apply the faith that God has been preparing all of this time. To begin well is blessed. To end well is rewarded. To begin well is blessed. To end well is rewarded. I want to end well. I don't know about you ladies, but I just pray that the Lord will help me to end well. In parenting, you start out making all the right choices and rearing your children. And I don't want to just begin well. I don't want to get tired halfway through the ball game and throw in the towel. I want to end well. I don't want to just begin well. Let's put our hearts on that. Again, the hula hoop requires constant adjustment of flexibility and momentum. You have to keep the momentum going, because if you get too relaxed, if you get too slow, you're going to lose it. So keep up the flexibility, keep up the momentum, and life is so much the same way with our faith. We have to keep up the momentum. Sometimes it's going to be a lot faster than at other times, but keeping the momentum going. Now I want you to look at, let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. Maybe keep your finger in Esther. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16, and pray that I can find it. Oh, yes, here it is. I beat you. I'm so proud. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16. But now they desire a better country. And in case you're not familiar with Hebrews chapter 11, this is what is familiar to Christians and embraced as the Faith Hall of Fame. All of the people that God is just bragging about. Through faith, they did this and this and this and this and this, and it's so wonderful. And I've read this chapter so much. And after it's this wonderful summary of all these people that have done great things, there's this little insert. It says, but now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And you know, that thought to me is so overwhelming. You know, if you've ever experienced personally, or if you've had children, or if you've had parents, and you've ever seen a parent being proud of their children, this is what my child did. And you're proud of what they did, and you encourage them, and you're just saying, yes, I'm so proud. This is what they did. But you know what? I think that the Lord does that with us as his children. That's what he just did in this chapter. It's like bragging rights, bragging baby book. Well, this person did this through faith, and this person did that. And it makes God proud when we embrace the faith that he's given us. Because it says, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. And I cower in my heart, because I think of times when I've not had the faith that I needed. And I wondered in my heart during those times, it said, wherefore God was not ashamed to be called their God. I wondered if there's been times that the Lord's just kind of looked away with disappointment because my faith was not there. I did not put my faith in him. I did not embrace the faith that he had put into me. That's a powerful, powerful verse that always encourages me. And I want you to look back at Esther now. Esther chapter 5, verse 1. This seems very simple, ladies, but verse 1. Now it came to pass on the third day, Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house. She dressed for the occasion. She was prepared. Dressing seems very simple and mundane. Yeah, get dressed once again. But I think that our dressing is very important. I think when we come to the Lord's house, it talks about what we think of our God. And I've always taught my daughters that church is the most important place you're going to go the whole entire week. So we dress that we might bring honor to the Lord, that our clothing might reflect what we think about our God, because after all, we do go to church to worship God. But how much more if we are the temple of the Holy Ghost? Our clothing should always reflect the love that we have for God, the respect that we have for God. If you're married, the respect that you have for your husband, clothing is very, very important. I believe that's put in here for a special reason. It was royal robe that she put on. And you know, the Bible says that we are all daughters of the king. Clothing is very important. She dressed for the occasion, and she also used hospitality. In verse 8, it says, she prepared a banquet. Never, ever underestimate the simple skills of domestication. Whether it's getting dressed for the day, whether it's taking care of your family, whether it's cooking the meals for your family, or whether it's grander, if you can host people in your home, Esther used hospitality. Refuse to accept a helpless mentality. Do not let the wine take over. Woe is me. I cannot do this. I am too small. I'm too weak. I'm too helpless. I'm not smart enough. Do not go there, because that is not from the Lord. The Bible says, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And ladies, you know, we just have to pray that the Spirit of God will reveal to us the tools that He's already given you to accomplish this task for His glory. We are not helpless. And I want to encourage you, the quote that Amy Carmichael said, "Don't wish for what isn't." I'm sure Esther could have wished she didn't have to go through this situation and deal with this awful, ugly Haman. But the fact was that she did. And rather than sitting around helpless, she put on her royal robe and got out her oven mitts and her little cookbook and said, "We're going to have a banquet." And ladies, don't ever allow yourself to be helpless. Don't wish for what isn't. Embrace what is. That's what Esther did. Esther bore witness when God provided great deliverance through her acts. The heart of the king was turned. Haman, the Lord got vengeance on Haman. Haman was hanged, and Esther bore witness. I believe she bore witness with her eyes. I believe she bore witness with her mouth. And even greater still, in Esther chapter 9, she bore witness with her pen. She wrote down what God had done. And this is still a festival among Jewish people today. Because of what Esther did, because of what she wrote down, your faith in God must be at the center of your life, just like this hula hoop. You see, not that the Lord would hula hoop, but I picture this hula hoop as life. And the Lord Jesus must be at the center of our life at all times. And if I keep the Lord Jesus in the center of my life, and if I am embracing Him like I'm supposed to be, if I'm at the center with the Lord Jesus, then everything is going to go just fine. We must keep Jesus at the center of our life, not the circumference of our life, okay? Now, I don't know if anybody's ever tried to do this, but if you have Jesus at the circumference of your life, it's not going to work. This hula hoop, I cannot do it this way, I guarantee you. I would attempt it, but I don't want it to fly and hurt somebody. So, it's very important to keep Jesus at the center of your life, not the circumference. Through faith, mountains can be moved, can't they? Through faith, many great things can happen. I want us to close in a word of prayer. And I want to ask you, ladies, the question that I asked you earlier. If you could have three wishes, what would they be? How is your faith? Are you embracing the moment? Whether you're in the mire, on the mountain, or going through the mundane, God can make the difference. God can use you exactly where you are. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I just come to you with thanksgiving. I pray that you would help these ladies to remember exactly what it is that you want them to remember. I pray that a passion would burn in their hearts to embrace you with great faith. Lord Jesus, you said if we just had the faith of a mustard seed, that mountains could be moved. I pray, Lord Jesus, that we might leave this place today with just the faith of a mustard seed. And Lord Jesus, we know that all power is yours in heaven and in earth. So I ask you, Lord, that you would fill the ones that are hungry. Those that want that faith today, I pray that you would fill them. I pray that they would ask for that right now. And Lord Jesus, those that really don't see the significance, I pray that you would reveal that to their hearts in a special way. Let's just have a moment of silent prayer so that you ladies can just talk with the Lord. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you would like me to just remember you in my heart, if you would just slip up your hand today, if you're praying for the Lord to help you with your faith and your time of transition and your time of change, if you'd just slip up your hand real quick all over the room. God bless you, ladies. Just keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. God bless you. All right, you may put your hands down. Lord Jesus, we just thank you that you see our hearts and that you've known us from the foundations of the world. We just praise you for that. I pray that you'd meet the needs. Help each and every lady through the time that she is in right now. We love you, Jesus, and we trust you in your precious and holy name. Amen. Thank you.